Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to, one, start your day by listening to your recording from day 20, practice your behavior change, and record what you notice at the end of the day. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, gosh. I'm so surprised. Sorry. This is Andrea calling in Durham.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, you know, what I'm seeing right now is that there is basically, I decided to put myself into the queue, even though ego said, you don't really have anything prepared.
Don't do it. Don't do it. So you knew it was time.
Yeah, you know, because it was just convincing, like, well, you know, you haven't really seen that much about this topic, and but anyway, I just wanted to participate in it, so I am on.
Before we go anywhere with the exact topic, that
sure.
you know, just that, for everybody to really stop and take in once again that there is a voice in a person's head giving them bad coaching. If you were paying somebody to coach you and they said, well, no, don't participate because you really haven't prepared anything. And don't. You'd fire that coach, right? And you would get somebody who would say, well, two things about that. One, just participate because that's the important thing. And look really closely at what you actually have seen, because there's probably a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
As far as this topic goes, I've been struggling to keep up, so that's one thing. I finally caught up on the weekend, and what my commitment was to keep up. That was my commitment, was to keep up.
No wonder you were struggling. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I made the commitment. And then what I noticed is that I just realized that I didn't keep up today because I didn't listen to my recording. So I took my recorder out, and I have it to listen to after this show.
Good for you. Good for you. And seeing that is the whole deal, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff on the topic of sexuality that would be really helpful and freeing for you to take a look at. But, the first job is to get past the resistance that ego mounts against us doing anything that would be good for us.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing around sexuality is I'm over 50, and to be blunt, the desire has gone down quite a bit, and and I'm being told that's not okay.
Well, you know what? The only point of being told it's not okay is that you'll feel bad.
Right.
So without the self-hate, what if, let me just present this. What if what we do in life is driven by unconscious desire? And then when that unconscious desire changes, well, then that subject is closed. Are you with me on a process?
No, I'm not. I'm not sure what you mean.
Okay, so the fact is, you probably, like many people, were a sexual being because you had all of these sensations. You were driven by biology.
Right.
Okay. So that's the case with a lot of things. I mean, people shop because they are driven by desire.
Right.
So then we bring conscious awareness to a topic, and we're told now, because you don't feel that way. You know, you don't have that desire anymore, so there's no reason for you to explore this. But what we're doing is bringing conscious awareness to life, not being driven by unconscious desire. And when the unconscious desire changes, then we no longer need to explore that topic. There is no freedom in that.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. And I think it's certainly worth exploring this. And in fact, I think to me, it feels more worth exploring it than before.
Exactly. Because I'm hoping for you, you got decades left, right? You're over 50. It's not like you've got one foot in the grave, okay?
Right.
And so what choices do you want to make for yourself and for your life in these coming decades?
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting you talk about the biology because, you know, I mean, certainly since my 30s, I don't think it's the same. And, you know, but you know what I thought was interesting when you said that was this voice came in and basically of conditioning came in and said, because I noticed this, that I'm not supposed to be a biological being, that I should be living in my head, that biology should offer no influence at all on my actions.
That would be ego's battle cry, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You are simply a head, and you will be ruled by ego. There.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm an automaton.
Yes, exactly. So I was on a plane yesterday, and I was sitting next to a woman who, in the course of the conversation, told me she's 68 years old. And in the course of the conversation, believe it or not, I didn't bring up anything about what we're doing here. But she said, and my husband doesn't want me anymore. And the sadness in her voice and on her face when she said that. Because, of course, it's not just doesn't want me sexually, doesn't want me.
Right.
Right? So I projected that they're not going down the path of, well, what is our relationship? Is it just biological, and now that we've got the kids and now we're old, then that's the end of it. There's no more love. There's no intimacy. There's no connection. There's no affection. Just, I don't want you anymore because biology doesn't, my biological reaction to you is not one of desire.
Wow. Wow, that's really helpful because, you know, it seems obvious that if you're in a marriage or a relationship that you would hopefully have more than sex, but I think that, you know, the society is just so crazy that it's not obvious. You know?
It is not obvious at all, not at all. And the amount of suffering, because in fact, in so many relationships, I project all that was there was sexual attraction and sexual desire. And when that's not there, there isn't anything. So you just go off to find somebody else that you feel that way about. And for this woman, and for a lot of people, or somebody over 50, say, then if that unconscious desire isn't there, or you believe that you're unattractive because you know you have nothing to offer because you're not sexually desirable anymore, life really closes down in a hurry.
It sure does. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I can tell you're on it. Out of the head, into the body, into the heart, opening to possibility, seeing what else is there.
Yes. This is so helpful. Very helpful.
Good. I'm so glad. So glad you put yourself in the queue in spite
of
what conditioning was trying to do.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm grateful, very grateful for this
retreat. All right. Me too. Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrea. No, Sherry, I love how we look at the dimensions of human experience
as so valuable in terms of the content that we look at,
mm-hmm.
because it allows us to really relate to people, you know, to ourselves
yes.
as human beings, rather yeah. than that mental construct of having our entire experience in life defined by the ego, which is very mental, and then denies our humanity.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because ego doesn't have a body.
That's
right.
Right. Right. And
yeah.
it's not human in that sense of, oh, wow.
Yes. Yes.
That compassion is so absent because there's no relating to experience.
Yes.
In the
yes.
mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ego is just cold, hard beliefs and assumptions designed to cause a human to suffer so that it gets the attention.
That's right.
Boston.
And what I was looking at, yeah, and what I was looking at when you said it, it's so important that that it's the unconscious part of desire that we want to really start becoming aware of, because that sense of wanting that we cannot have that propels us is often
mm-hmm.
manufactured, right?
Yes.
So if we
yes.
don't know, in the mind, if we don't know the difference between being present to something that is naturally human and being absent to that because I'm driven by something that I'm told I want and do not have, then we're
mm-hmm.
so completely controlled.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Whew.
Completely controlled.
Yeah.
By while being told what it is that we want. Everything from, you don't want to put yourself in the queue. You don't need to look at this.
You don't need to have sex.
To what?
You don't want to have sex.
Yes, you don't want to have sex. Or you don't want to have sex with that person, but you
yeah.
do want to have sex with all those other people, but you can't have
yeah.
them. Or maybe you can.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Being controlled
yeah.
by that force is not a recipe for happiness.
Right, and therefore it robs us of choice, right? Because if
mm-hmm.
if I'm present, I can genuinely tell what I'm experiencing and then what my choice is,
mm-hmm.
which is where the freedom is. And so
yeah.
I think we were looking at this yesterday on open air. It's not that we want freedom to do whatever we want. It's the freedom to be not controlled by our conditioning, which gives us
yeah.
the true choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the freedom. It's freedom from ego, isn't it? That's
yes.
that's the freedom we're going for. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Michelle in Albuquerque.
Hello, Michelle.
Well, hi there. I'm a little surprised. Yeah, I was motivated to just hop on the queue after the last caller, so here I am.
Good
and,
for you.
You know, I was, as I was doing, going through each day, and I was kind of, and these messages were coming up, and I started to go, like, are these true? Like, is there any validity to that? So the other night, I got out the trusty Google, and because, like, one of the messages was like, oh, well, your fantasies are wrong. Like, an evolved woman wouldn't have those kinds of fantasies. And so I went on and said, what are the top fantasies that women have? Like,
evolved
sexual fantasies.
Women have.
Exactly. And I found that, like, my fantasies were at the top of the list. And so it's
uh-huh.
just, like, it's questioning, are these ideas, that these messages that get thrown at me all the time, is there any reality there? And that's just like one
yeah.
piece. But by seeing that, it feels like that it gives more weight to me pushing against
and right.
discounting those messages.
That's right. It gives you the courage to get to know you rather than what ego says about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's
good
just
to you.
More space. Yeah, so I was really,
Google.
You know, I was kind of...
Google never lets us down, does it?
not in this situation. So yeah.
Well, it's kind of like putting yourself in the queue, right? It's being open and willing and curious. That's what we need in order to go up against ego. So in practice, as I'm sure you know, one of our big questions is that so? And another one is, well, how do you know that? Who says so?
Yeah.
And we're just so conditioned not to live in that place that when and when we finally break free and get into a well, I'm going to find out. You know, ego has nothing at that point. Nothing.
No, it's so true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and it feels like and I think probably like a lot of folks that I've heard call in, and you know, there's like this, well, this topic doesn't really have a lot of relevance and blah blah blah. And then when you start really just saying, well, like what if I was curious, just like you just said, and just really kind of giving some time and space and not with fixing anything. I mean, that's the part that I had to stop myself with approaching it with a mentality that I was exploring this in order to change or fix something.
Right.
But just with curiosity.
Finally get it right. Finally figure out what actually is wrong with her and finally do something about it.
Yeah.
And instead it's
exactly.
I don't actually know her. I don't really know her. So it's time to get to know her.
Yeah.
And what an adventure that is.
Well, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You get to spend the rest of your life with an evolved woman.
Lucky me.
Lucky you. And the world just opens in front of you, right? What's possible for you?
Yeah.
Well, actually, everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's, you know, even around when it gets to the content part, you know, removing these ideas, you know, like the way that, you know, recognizing that I'm not going in to like change my sexual life, but it also just opens up every aspect to being like, well, why not? Yeah.
Precisely. Saying no to anything and is not helpful. And it doesn't mean that if you open up to your full sexuality, you're going to become a danger to yourself and society, right? You're still intelligent. You're conscious. You're aware. You're present. You will make good decisions. But being conscious and present and aware and informed is the place from which we want to make our decisions.
Oh, for sure. And part of as I really explored this and continued to sit with it and let kind of the layers open, like there were messages there that you'll be completely rejected. You will be unloved. If you play these things out, you will be obliterated. I mean, there were these really, as it went deeper, there was some really scary, mean stuff that was, when I really looked at it, I was like, that's not true at all.
That's right. But it is a projection. Because if you keep going in this way, ego will be obliterated. And that's what it's fighting against. Right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's coming up during meditation. You know, this, like, just this, that core fear is kind of popping up. So it's interesting to see it all play out.
It is, isn't it? Way more interesting than going with ego and consciousness. And more fun.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
thank
you.
All right.
You so
thank
much.
You.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Michelle. Sherry, that point seems to be so important and so relevant and has come up in so many ways as we explore this topic that the no is really the limitation, right?
Yes.
And the fear is that if you look, you won't know what you will find, and what you find is going to be bad. And if you open that up, you're going to act in a way that, in other words, the choice will be taken away from you in terms of how you act, and so you need to be limited.
Yes.
And
yes.
What we're discovering is...
Go ahead. What we're discovering...
Well, what is when we look, all we see is, is the removal of the limits, the lack of the fear, and the increase in choice because we're informed. We're no longer unconscious about our impulses and driven by something that is not us or authenticity. It's exactly an opening up of possibility and increase in choice because the limits are removed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're free to look eyes wide open and then make conscious, compassionate, kind choices.
Yes.
It reminds me of the, again, because we are all little children at heart, you know, to say to a child, I know you want ice cream right now. I know you do. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? But we're going to have dinner pretty soon. So we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to want whatever. That has nothing to do with the choices we make.
Right, and we don't want to rob ourselves of the possibility that there's more than vanilla flavor.
Yes.
Right? That's what happens, right? You are stuck with vanilla because God knows what happens if you have coffee flavor.
Yeah. Or chocolate.
Or chocolate.
Exactly.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mark in Tucson.
Hello, Mark.
Hi. Wow. Okay. Well, it's a beautiful sunny day here. I just spent a week in southern Colorado where it's probably like it is there, cold and wet and...
We're just finishing up winter here, the end of May. Yeah.
Well, I'm coming to see you the end of this week.
I know you are. And we are going to get you some good weather, Mark. Just trust
okay.
us, okay?
I've had
bring everything you can with you.
Yes, exactly. I intend to. So this is a subject which I think is so fundamental, other than self-care, which I think as a culture, not to mention me personally, we're kind of bad at. It's actually, I think, very much a part of self-care. In other words, at one point you said something which I thought, this isn't a subject I need to worry about. I'm pretty comfortable with my sexuality. Have looked at it a lot over the last many years, but what I have done forever, and it upsets me, is that I notice that I'm very attracted to females. That's just my interest, and I'm watching women all the time. And I was like, gosh, you know, couldn't you spend your time doing something else? You know, well, you said. What you've been saying, which really rung for me, really, was, well, that's just what you do. And you've got to be aware of that's what you're doing. It doesn't mean you have to do anything about it. And it opened up a door for me, you saying that or me hearing that or however I heard it, that was, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with that. I really love watching female. I love the experience of it. It is, for me, fundamentally, just the being there in the presence of is a fundamentally sensual experience. And it doesn't seem to have any, there's no touching necessary there.
Exactly. No. What we were just talking about, right? You don't need to do anything about it.
Right.
And what I also project from what you're seeing is you can be at choice about it. So you might find that you kind of feel the same way about trees or the sky or clouds or stars or any number of things that also put you so in touch with feeling, I'll project, alive.
Amen. In fact, it's been happening So I have to do a little sidebar here. So I was with over the last week with the herbalists, and one of those people is my very, very favorite doctor, who is a chemist and an herbalist and an ND, and he's brilliant. And at one point, he's describing the experience of opium, because he said, you know, if I'm going to prescribe opiates to people, I better know what it is that I'm giving them.
Yeah,
and he
said,
you have this experience of kind of, there's this feeling of something wonderful is going to happen, but it never actually happens. So you're on the edge of, right?
Oof.
And I realized, as he said that, that if I put my attention there, I can experience kind of an energy that comes up from the middle bottom of me, maybe, you know, the first chakra, maybe even lower than that. This energy that comes up, and it's headed towards my heart, and it just kind of tingles there, you know, maybe 3 or 4 inches away, as if there's this wonderful possibility of sensual, exciting delight that is constant in my experience, and I'm, you know, not really aware of it all the time. It's there.
Oh, there's so much in that, right? Because you're not analyzing, I'm not saying that, but the analysis of it is that this is something about to happen, but the reality is it's something that is happening.
Yeah.
Right? You're completely present to that excitement, it's an excitement for this. Not an excitement for something that's in the future, right?
And
how tragic that is for people who don't realize that that's an experience that we can have without something that is going to addict us and kill us and ruin our lives first.
Exactly. It's right here. I don't have to do drugs for this one. It's right here. It's here all the time. I mean, really, that's an incredible gift. And it's right there.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you have to do is turn attention to it. Which is what practice is. We're learning not to give our attention to ego, to take it wherever feeds it, and we're bringing that attention back for ourselves so that we can place it where we want to have it so that we can joyously live with what's animating us.
Right. And if I take that back to my experience of women, it's the watching and feeling inside of me the experience of how she walks or how she chose the clothes that she's wearing or the way that she uses her hands. I'm identifying. And when I'm doing that, I'm having the experience.
Yes. Yes, yes, you are. That is subtle and tremendously exciting to realize, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you're actually having the experience. So again, if we take that into other places, you can have that same experience with a puppy running around and wagging its tail, or a small child, or a rose, or the rain, anything.
Yes.
Because you can have that experience, because the only way it's being experienced is because you're having it.
Right. And I have there was a daily peace quote some time ago where the person who's being quoted said something, and again, it's my experience of it, was that the siren that's the, you know, the engine is going and there's a siren, and I'm in the city now, and they do that from time to time. The siren wants me to hear it. Oh my God! It's like it has opened up, right?
Yeah. Hello, siren.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I love you too. I hear you. Oh, my God. You have such a great voice. Oh, listen to you, you know, reaching out across. Really, you know, are the jets who go over and they rumble and roar. It's like, wow, there's maleness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I admit I'm probably personifying, and okay, fine.
Of course.
So I'm aware of that. But if I'm loving that, then one thing for sure is I'm not aggravated by it. And the second thing is, I have the experience of being loved. That silent loves me. And that putting that, you know, that means I feel very safe.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a, I think Ashwini can help us out, although I know we're out of time, but the Rumi poem about the water, the thirsty person is looking for the water and the water is looking for the thirsty person.
Yeah.
It's that same process, right? The siren is reaching out. You're reaching out.
Yeah.
You meet. You are one.
I'm sorry. Just one added thing about that is that, okay, so I'm looking at this woman, however she's configured, and I'm really enjoying it. And I can even go to that place that it's not that she wants me to do anything. She may probably doesn't even want me to watch. But there's a certainty that I can experience her in the same way I experience the sirens.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Well, especially if we talk about her as life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
An expression of life.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's in the game. She's in it. She's in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Embodying
it. She's incredibly beautiful, really.
Mm.
It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And in a few days, yes, we will have the pleasure of your company. Bring all the sunshine you can.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. Oh, my God, I'm jumping off my seat in that from that conversation. But unfortunately, we have to bring the show to an end. So here's our assignment. Do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Record and listen. The only thing I'll say about that conversation, Sherry, is blessed is the knowledge of emptiness.
Yes, which is what we were talking about and what we're getting ready to do for several days
a whole week?
In a row, huh? A whole week.
Yeah.
So exciting. All right.
So exciting.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Gusho.
Go happy.
Go happy.